Hi and welcome to Matrix Moments. This is Saloni and you've tuned in to part 3 of our gaming content series. On this episode, we talk about the rise of Web3 and how we expect it to transform the gaming industry. Joining us for this conversation are Manish Agarwal, the CEO of Nazara Technologies, Anirudh Pandita, the founder of Loco, Thomas Patel, co-founder and CEO of Omelet, as well as Tarun Davra, Ayush Chamaria, and Rahul Chug from the Matrix team. Tune in.
Yeah, got it. Great. Thank you so much. Maybe quickly we can touch upon another topic which is there in everyone's mind, that is Web3 and how Web3 really affects the e-streaming and e-sports space. Manish, would love to get your views first, given you have been a very big proponent of this space. How do you see Web3 really transforming the esports?
By the way, I met Manish. Manish, this was 2-3 weeks ago, and I literally felt like a dinosaur because he said things that I had never heard about. And I quickly came back and I said, please send me links on all the stuff you were mentioning. So Manish, you know, would love to get some insight. And, you know, again, a lot of these things are, you know, right now we all recognize it's very early. But I think there's a lot of buzz, right? So would love for you to just break it down and, you know, what opportunities do you really see there?
So Tarun, if you look at Ayush, Tarun, we have heard a platform guy speaking right now. We have heard a dev tool guy speaking right now. The value is being captured by Anirudh in Loco. The creators are getting whatever money they are getting. Dev tool, Omelet is created. A lot of people might have contributed as community in bug fixing things, whatever it is. But the value is being captured in form of equity by Omelet. Right? I think what fascinates me is the process of disrupting it. The process of disrupting the value creation is happening by the community, and the sharing of wealth should happen between the community and not just one who's aggregating it. And I think that's the promise of Web3, which if executed with the right teams and right intent is what I'm very, very fascinated about. And which is where creating a streaming platform, which kind of really has co-ownership with the creators, with the viewers, and everybody is kind of really getting a common alignment. It's like what we say when, if all of us are Nazara shareholders, then all of us will think of one line, is that how the share price is moving and we are all swimming or sinking together. Similarly, if there is a combined ownership of viewers, creators, developers onto that platform, then everybody is kind of really benefiting or not benefiting, and then the channelization is happening. And I believe that's a disruption which is going to happen in the esports streaming platform. It's in the tech of it, in the viewership of it, in the front end of it, content creation of it, all aspects. Because it's a long tail business, fundamentally. And that is where, when the long tail businesses, like whether I'm sitting in Karnal or Kunur, if I can create my fandom, I should really kind of, and such more heroes will emerge, that because that's the nature of this business. You can't really control those mini heroes or hyper local heroes to emerge. And if you can really kind of get them on a platform where they are also getting economic interest, that's what is going to happen. I will not use the jargons of metaverse, or I will not use the jargons of NFTs, but that's the fundamental thesis which a blockchain can transparently solve, excites me. And I think, I'm sure Ani and team have put in the most capable 10 blockchain guys with the right tokenomics experts working on how to resolve this. I'm sure TJ is thinking, how do I really kind of adapt to this new developer ecosystem which is coming and co-creating the next version. Omelet can really solve all the problems on mobile which we spoke about. Because I truly believe if PC and Twitch can solve some of those things, why can't mobile can solve? And I've been really working on some of the things in a time. So that's what my thesis is. Not just get carried away by crypto exchange tokens, speculation. The value extraction from what we can deliver from first principles is amazingly possible here.
Yeah. TJ, would love to get your thoughts. I think some parts of it are already there on your platform. And you have... Yeah. Please.
Sure. So, I mean, you know, we just actually have been really embracing the blockchain market, because I think that, like, from a fundamental level, like, blockchain is about opening up the borders of your economy to the borders of other economies. So, you know, I think the very first stuff you see people do, you know, everything is in the blockchain, you know, and so the applications are really simple. They're not that interesting, and you can speculate on them. But as the games get more interesting, you know, it's more like your wallet, your collectibles that are in there, and those can migrate elsewhere. They can be used outside of the world or won from outside events and things like that. And so what we see is that, you know, as games open themselves up to this, they have an opportunity to really incentivize their influencer community to do much more for them and at much bigger scale, because they can get people signed up to be able to offer, you know, the kind of giveaways that people like to do to grow, where it's, you know, in-game resources, things that can grow in value over time that are tied to the platform itself. And they actually can be exposed in a way where it's open, so that, you know, the content creator earns these for how much viewers they have, and then they can distribute them through their own mini games or Discords or custom kind of channels that really let them build the support within their own community base. And so I think that that's not happening like right now. Like, you're not going to go out and see that. You know, we do have some blockchain stuff, but that's not what's in there right now. But that's the promise. And I think that it's something where it's a big problem today. Like, if you want to launch a game, you're going to go sign up and pay a bunch of people a lot of money up front with contracts. And you're going to, you know, 8 out of 10 were crap. It didn't work out. But 2 of them were awesome, and they really launched your game. So now you can think about, how do we do it with 100 people where it doesn't cost us anything really, but if we go big, then all of them, you know, win big. And so that's what we're excited about, and why we think we have to be like in that space. So we have gone and like built a blockchain into our fundamental account system. So we have a wallet, right now it's Polygon based, but we're to support all the other gaming centric chains. And we started to go down the angle of looking at how do we help creators monetize? So we let them issue NFTs to their fans so that they can sort of build a community stronger, you know, amongst themselves. And I think there's lots of ways that NFT ownership can translate into community engagement with DAOs and things like that. So, you know, there's so many opportunities here, but, you know, basically it's really early on mobile, like super early, like blockchain on mobile is very early. So that core plumbing infrastructure needs to be there. And that's what we're kind of laying out the groundwork for, so that we can help connect the influencer economy to global games.
Sorry, just to come in here.
Go ahead, Manish.
Rahul, your earlier question on dev tools, this what TJ just described is the white space opportunity.
Yeah.
So, I wanted to just, you know, from our side, like, we are also very, very bullish on Web3, and from a fan perspective, actually, more than anything else, which is like, I always joke about this, that I'm wearing a Liverpool cap. If Liverpool dies tomorrow, I still have the cap. So, you know, and we all know, being in the, all of us are early stage people, like, things are not perfect day one. So, you know, the criticism that I'm seeing for most of this stuff is for something that should be just a perfect product. And, you know, we've obviously seen a bloody week, 2 weeks in crypto, but, you know, leave aside cryptocurrencies for a second, because that's a separate podcast, and I'm happy to join that. You know, public, you know, the fact that you can validate through a public ledger your ownership or something, I think that's a fundamental game changer for economies where gamers actually like having virtual goods, right? So there is a very, very simple way of knowing that, okay, like, let's say if I sign with, I'm a big streamer, I sign with a publisher, they're going to make a skin on my name. How do I know they're actually giving me the right? I have no way of auditing, zero ways of auditing, right? Like, this is just a fundamental thing that, you know, that is there. Whereas, you know, if you wanted to add a new way of showing support to your favorite creator from a fan point of view, right? That is something you can do today, whether you can do it through somewhat of an NFT inside a game, outside a game, with merchandise. And look, these people are streamers and viewers, both live in the virtual world, right? In a virtual world, how do I even show that I own something, right? And stickers are, like, people, if you see our chat, send lots of stickers. But what if you had that big sticker that only the top fan has, for example, right? And how do I know you are the right person who has it? So there is these sort of interesting use cases that they're going to come up, which is, you know, from a viewer's point of view, you can feel much closer to the streamer. You can show your support. If you are someone who wants to be an esports scout, for example, right? If, like, you know, you collect collectibles, they go up in value. You can show that to any guy in a job interview today, just like you could if, you know, wanted to be an investor and you'd say, okay, I only invested at 10,000 rupees, but it's, the research is just as good. If it's a, you know, $100 million trade, maybe the trading itself might be different, but the thesis might be the same. And today, how do you do that? You find it through small tournaments that are running on Loco, right? The small 5,000, where there are maybe a rupee tournament, maybe where there's 10 people, 20 people watching. You can, those guys, the scouts will start going there and they'll say, okay, I'm going to start buying up something, right? Because maybe I cannot buy and do a contract with this guy today. And if you're a gamer, it just created a, or a streamer, it created a completely new revenue opportunity for you, which you never had before. You would have to go to, you know, a publisher, say, hey, man, do you want to do a partnership? And we know how B2B partnerships work. They take forever. And by that time, this guy's career is probably over. So I think you'll see a very interesting new form of kind of fan support that's going to show up, new jobs that are going to show up. And I think the play to earn is a very bad term, personally, I feel, because it makes it sound like a job, right? If I don't have the play element, if I'm not enjoying the game, then I'm just earning, and it's just like job, right? And which, you know, and I'm using it in a negative way, right?
Anil, that's a great point you make. You know, one of the things, and I think to your earlier point, one of the criticisms that is going around today is in this whole sort of play to earn, play and earn, whatever, the word play has been forgotten. A lot of this is just, you know, the reason why, you know, some of the, like you see Dream Eleven, you see any of these, you know, sort of large gaming, these are fun games where people enjoy spending time. There's an entertainment element to it. Yes, there are ways to make money. But if it's just money and the entertainment is removed, none of these will sustain.
Correct. And I think you'll see with, and Manish will know these projects better, there are good projects that are coming. And I actually don't think the whole game needs to be on the blockchain, ideally. Like, you can even have partially, some part of the treasury is NFT, some part is not. And I actually think, ultimately, when we think of Loco, like, I think of like a Prime bundle where I can offer you a subscription across games, where you could have, you know, certain goods in these different games and they can be traded, right? There is actually new business models which these people have never cooperated before.
Tarun, if the first phase, the value extraction is coming from exchanges, that's what the value extraction from goods coming out of time and effort productivity, that is now coming in. So when you have time effort led value extraction, you will have more sustainability in the business models. When you have value coming from exchanges, it will be short-lived like any other project. But the exciting part is, at least the games which came and created, they've created amazing amount of if I may say, propensity and proclivity to the firms such as yours to put in money into now right projects. Second, it has also said what not to do, and which is what Ani is saying, that there's some outstanding projects coming our way. As of my understanding, is there are 500 such projects being developed as we speak. 90% of them will still be driven from speculation, exchange, value creation point of view, but there are 10% which will come in. And I've seen this in 2010-11 when freemium came from a paid to freemium. This was exactly the same journey. So some of us who have been around it, we have seen that journey happening. And that journey, you will, the only thing which you should take out, silver lining, is there is a very strong inherent consumer insight for this to really work. And if you can really go deeper and are able to understand and spot those people, you will succeed in mid to long term.
Thanks for tuning in. For more Matrix Moments episodes, you can head to www.matrixpartners.in/matrixmoments. You can also follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more updates.